Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, a talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do in the program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on.
Yes.
Here's Ron.
Yay! All right. They woke up a little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
Loud for sure.
Yeah, I know there's always one or two there that's too loud. Yeah. This is the All About Wine Olympic update. The Olympics start tomorrow in Paris. That concludes the All About Wine Olympic update. Thank you.
Oh, hang on. Hang on a second. I've got a sound effect for that. Oh.
Time for a quick news brief on the flight line.
Wow. Okay, that's enough.
There you go. That should have been first, yeah. But the Olympics start tomorrow.
I didn't know you were going that route.
Impromptu. Have to acknowledge the Olympics. I mean, there's going to be the opening ceremony. It's not going to be in a stadium. It's going to be outside, which is a first.
I guess is Paris like 2 days? Paris must be 2 days ahead of me or ahead of us because last night they had a game. I don't know if was it soccer or football? Some sport started yesterday on USA Network and it said 2024 Olympics and then it had a game on and I thought, hang on a second. I thought it was starting in 2 days. So maybe they're ahead of us.
No, I'll tell you what it is. I happen to have a 2024 Olympic schedule here, Olympic viewing schedule. Yes, I'm quite happy with this. On the 24th, now today's the 25th, but on the 24th, they had a football game, football equals soccer. They also had a rugby sevens game yesterday. Today they have a handball game and a rugby seven game and another football game and archery. So those were all held today. And then tomorrow's going to be opening ceremonies. And there's no other events. And then it goes real big time after that. So,
all right.
That's why you heard it. We have a guest tonight. She is waiting in the green room, enjoying all of our food and snacks and wine and everything we have in the green room. So we're going to have her put everything down and we're going to bring her on. going to bring her, she's going to get the food out of her mouth. That's what I'm talking. So she can be ready and talk. Kristen from CTD Collective, and she's going to talk to us about that and tell us about that and all that stuff. So we will, you already got all the food out of your mouth, Chris, and we'll bring you onto the show. And welcome to All About Wine, Kristen.
Hi, can you hear me? Am I live?
You're okay, yeah.
Yay, okay, amazing. So actually, I'm from Nomadica Wine.
Oh, Madison Wine.
Yeah.
Wow. What?
Even better. Nomadica, like Nomad ICA.
Wow. Why am I so confused? David is the one that I've been talking to and to get you on the show.
C-Dot Collective is my incredible new board member who we just brought on, who was recently a guest, Jessica Kogan.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Jessica's been on before, and boy, I'm usually got on top of this stuff. For some reason, this snuck in on me, and you're, well, it's good. We don't have to talk about, you know, something we've already talked about. You are nomad.
Yes, Nomadica. Nomadica. So we are the first fine wine in sustainable packaging. So we're in can, box, and now keg.
Ah, okay, Nomadica. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen Nomadica before. I've talked to people. No, I haven't. I've seen Nomadica. Where was it? I'm trying to remember where it was. I saw Nomadica, but yeah. Well, good. You are Nomadica. Well, then tell us about Nomadica. What does it involve, and what is it about, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Big fan of the show. So I spent the last decade as a sommelier in some of the country's best Michelin restaurants, everywhere from Husky in Nashville, Saison in San Francisco, Osteria Mozza in Los Angeles. I'm opening up a new restaurant in LA, slated to open next year, but I started Nomadica to bring the young consumer back to the wine category.
There you go.
I think we all hear these, you know, really bleak news reports about how young people aren't drinking wine, and candidly, that's not true. They're not drinking the way their parents drank.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so our wine is in sustainable packaging, so cans, boxes, and kegs. It's award-winning, and we're the first canned wine to ever be used in the Advanced Sommelier Training Course.
Oh, really?
It's actually really funny. A friend of mine who is doing the training course this last go around said a bunch of the master psalms thought it was high level Cremant from France, and I've never felt more proud.
I can imagine. You started Nomadica yourself then?
Yes, I'm the founder and CEO.
Well, very good. I have to apologize. We do have some Nomadica wine. You sent me a sample of it, and I have it right here. And why have we not opened this? I usually give it to my wife, my engineer, and when stuff comes in. And she stuck it in here. This is my den. She stuck it in here, and I think we forgot about it. Wow, that I am so embarrassed. I apologize for that. I should have.
See, no, and everything happens in the right time. It's like a new discovery today. That's what I feel like, right?
It is.
It's serendipitous. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get these things chilled and we'll start enjoying these things. Wow, I really do. I apologize for not trying it before now and being able to give an opinion of it. But, you know, that's like you say, that's what happens. So give me the background of you. Your journey up to where you are right now.
Yeah, so I actually ended up dropping out of Harvard Medical School to become a sommelier. I'm crazy. my expertise and my love is really Italian wine. I, of course, like all sommeliers, got hooked on Burgundy and Champagne, and then made my way over to Barolo, and I'm a huge fan of Sicilian wines, whites from Campania, all wines from Friuli. But the real reason why I started my company is because the chef I used to work for, Nancy Silverton, was on a Netflix show called Chef's Table, and it was the first time in my life that people my own age started coming into the restaurant. This was 10 years ago. So I'm 36 now. So
you're
I
young.
Was
you're
younger.
Young.
Okay. Very kind of you. And I noticed they didn't want to drink wine. They wanted to drink beer, tequila, cocktails, anything but wine. And it felt like such a miss, because I think wine is the most ancient of beverages. You know, nothing enhances a meal like sharing wine with your dining partner. But so many people feel like they need to have a PhD in order to enjoy wine. And or they feel like it needs to be expensive in order to be good, which is such a miss, right? Like, great wine can be accessible at all price points.
Yeah, I'm nodding my head a lot here as you're saying that, because that's so true. You know, it really is.
Yes, and so I really wanted to bring the young consumer back to the category. You know, I noticed as soon as I go over, I start talking to these young drinkers, and I'd be like, let me get you a bottle of wine. This is actually why it's a better value than drinking four cocktails. and I can get you a great bottle of wine for, you know, $45, $50, $60. Like, let's enjoy. Let's dive in together. Let's take a geographical treasure hunt and go on the journey. And so I wanted to do that on a larger scale with Nomadica. But when I started deep diving into the category, I was really shocked when I found out how, you know, a majority of the carbon footprint in a bottle of wine comes from the actual glass bottle itself.
Right.
And so many drinkers today don't want to commit to an entire bottle. You know, I think people are drinking less but trading up when they drink.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were the first people in 2017. I was the crazy person that put fine wine in a can. And it was really, you know, I went around to all these different winemakers and begged them to partner with me. And everyone said no until Bob Lindquist from Coupe. Bob was the first guy that was like, I love what you're doing. Like, you know, let's go. I'll partner with you, kid. Like, he really. He's such a wonderful person. And so our first wine we did was French Camp Vineyard Syrah in a can.
Wow.
I know, right? Pretty cool. And so we partner with artists on each label. So the art is a tasting note for the wine inside. You know, right now we've exploded. Like, I think being first and also being really headstrong on quality has paid off in spades over the years. We're nationally distributed by RNDC. We're sold in 25 markets around the U.S. Obviously, you know, California, Texas, New York, Illinois, Colorado, and Florida are our big ones, but we're sold D2C in 35 states. We have expanded into 3-liter boxed wine and kegs, and we're really, like, changing the wine industry.
That's where I have seen Nomadica more than anything. I shop at Total Wines periodically, and they have an enormous selection of boxed wines, and I've seen Nomadica there. That's where I knew. I couldn't place where I've seen it, and that's it at Total Wines.
Yes. We just launched all four of our boxed wines in Total Wine 2 months ago. Total Wine, they're like an early adapter to everything. We love them so much. And it's been selling like hotcakes.
Wow. Now you go up to someone and say, I want to carry your wine. I want you to put it in a can for me. Are you getting any resistance since canned wines are becoming so mainstream, if you will?
Well, so now we've started making our own wine. I was really lucky. I brought on two seasoned winemakers, Kent Humphrey and Corey Alberi. Kent of Eric Kent Cellars, and then Corey, who has he's mostly been in the vineyard management world, which is amazing because all of our wines are practicing organic, you know, farmed without the use of pesticides and synthetic fertilizers. And Corey has also been stints at places like Costa Brown. You know, we're built by the industry. Like, we're all a bunch of old school wine people trying to do something new. And I think that's really important. I think a lot of people have rushed into the can category, and candidly, not to be controversial here, but a lot of people outside of the wine industry who I think are trying to make a quick buck rush into the industry. They raised a lot of capital, and their numbers speak for themselves, I think. When you know what you're doing, I think you're here for the long haul.
Yeah.
Wine is not like a quick in and out. And wine is really like, if you love it, like the industry is built by people who are industry legacy people who are in it for the love of the grape, not just to become wealthy off of it. And it really shows in the landscape.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the old saying, you know how to make a fortune, a big fortune, or I'm sorry, the wording, how to make a small fortune in the wine industry, you start with a big fortune. And
exactly.
That sums it up, I think, quite well. Do you, well, you already answered this question. Do you seek out organic, regenerative, biodynamic, all that stuff when you ask someone to make wine for you, or is it just by chance, or what's your approach to that?
Yeah, well, we're making our own wine, so we're buying grapes. Our orange wine that we launched last summer is certified organic, but the rest of our grapes are practicing, because a big challenge that I face in my category is consumer perception. And organic certified, you know, wine, biodynamic certifications are expensive. And so
right.
that would, like, at the same time, you know, I need to be a business owner and sell on the retail shelf and work with buyers and, you know, hear from the Total Wines, the Whole Foods, the Ralph, the Mother's Markets, the independent brokers, like what price point really works for them and what encourages trial. So I'm not crazy about certifications, but it does create some extra work on our end to communicate the quality.
All right.
Yeah.
And the people, what are you actually seeking the market of, millennials and Gen X's and stuff like that? Is that your goal, or is your goal to just offer wines from all over the world in an easy, accessible, drinkable package?
So I'm going after millennials and Gen Z, and we are getting them. I mean, we've been alive since 2017. We are doing something that no one has been able to do successfully, which is bring new drinkers into the category. And I think the lifetime value of that consumer is, I mean, obviously incredible. I think a lot of the wine industry is, frankly, you know, covering their eyes and putting their fingers in their ears. Not talking to the young consumer. They're expecting the young consumer to drink the same old, you know, 12 grams of residual sugar or Napa Cab that their parents are drinking. And that's just not the case.
That's very true. You don't just walk out in the street and say, hello, millennial, I got a wine I want you to try. How are you targeting these groups?
Well, I am a millennial, so I think that, you know, also there's very few female founders in wine. Something that's been so incredible about getting Jessica Kogan to join my board, I mean, Jess is a pioneer in wine. She's a female founder. She's exited a wine company. She's been in the C-suite as a publicly traded wine company. Finding somebody like her has really changed my life. She's been a huge mentor of mine, and I was so honored when she accepted my invitation to join my board, because she just gave herself so freely to me. Because it is challenging for us, but it's been really amazing how, you know, we show up at parties, we show up at music venues. I'm doing ice luges for the box wine. I'm making fun campaigns about Slap the Bag. We just released a 7% alcohol rosé yuzu spritz last month that has been absolutely killing it with the younger generation. I'm like, why are you drinking White Claw? You're putting a bunch of chemicals into your body. Drink wine. It's just grapes, yeast, water, and thyme. Like, it gets you drunk, and it's like, you know, everyone has drank wine throughout millennia. Like, let's return to the basics. If you're eating organic, if you're shopping at Erewhon, if you care what you're putting into your body, why are you consuming chemicals? And I think it's just talking to them in the language that they're used to and showing up in the places that they are. And so it's been really amazing because I feel like the young generations are so hungry for knowledge and they're so excited about wine.
Well, you say that, but it's not being presented. I mean, every article I read and reports and trade journals and all that are talking about how the millennials and Gen Zs are getting away from wine, how the boomers are getting old and they're the big wine drinkers and the millennials are not, and it's hurting the business and all that, and you're just saying something different here. Explain. Yeah.
No, well, I mean, not to, I have a lot of hot takes, I guess, but I think this is because a lot of that information is pulled from IRI data, from big traditional retailers, and I would say, you know, distribution remains the largest challenge for any small brand. I cannot compete with the might that is, you know, the Diageos, Constellations, Gallows, Jackson Family Wines. And so we don't get that same attention from the distributor and the retailer. We have to fight. We have to show up. We have to, you know, I'm so lucky to have buyers that believe in me. And, you know, I go in and I demo my own wines. We have a really amazing, engaged, active team. But the data doesn't tell the full story, because the data shows the story of, I'm like, how do I say this in a kind way? The data tells the story of the old school wine industry. The data isn't telling the story of natural wine bars all around the country, of, you know, all of these young drinkers excited to share what new natural wine they're drinking, what new canned wine they're drinking, what new boxed wine they're drinking. The data doesn't tell the direct-to-consumer story where we're seeing so much success. I think that it's never been easier to create and go to market with an alcohol company than it is right now, but it's never been harder to succeed.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm glad you had that caveat at the end there because, you know, it's so many things are popping up and you look at them for a while and then they disappear. I reported things coming up here on the show and then a year from now, they're not around. And so it's a tough field out there. It's a tough thing to try to get something going on that. So, again, kudos to you for doing so well and stepping up on this stuff. The name Nomadica, what's the origin of that?
Okay. So, you know, our approach to wine, we're in cans, boxes, and kegs. You know, we have Nomadica White, Nomadica Red, Nomadica Rosé, Nomadica Orange. Our grape varietals may change, but our flavor profiles will always be consistent. So we're truly a nomadic winery. We love to source mostly from places like Sonoma and Mendocino, but we also source from Lodi. We source from the Central Coast. So we're not tied to a region. But also, you can take our wine wherever you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's, you know, having a can of wine on the beach is pretty much accepted, whereas a bottle would be frowned on highly. You know,
exactly. But it's pretty cool. We do a lot of consumer data surveys, and we found that a lot of our customers are drinking Nomadica at home and pouring this into a wine glass.
Oh.
Which we love. Yes. Because I'll die. I mean, I'm still, you know, an old school sommelier, so, like, wine tastes better out of a wine glass. Like, don't drink it out of the can if you can help it. Smell it.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm old school wine drinker myself. You know, put it in the glass. You know, the bottle doesn't have to have a cork. A screw would work. Screw cap would work. But still, when you drink it, you put that glass is required.
That glass
I think.
Is required.
Your story of becoming a sommelier, why did you decide to become one? What was your journey to do that? And I've talked to other sommeliers. I always ask the question, how tough was it for you?
So I'll be honest, I left the med school track, and after the MCAT, the sommelier exams were a joy. I'm first generation college student. I was the first person in my family to go to college. I paid my own way through school, and I feel really lucky because restaurants allowed me the opportunity to do that. When I was, I'm originally from Massachusetts, and I, was working in Nantucket, this little island off the coast at a restaurant that Julia Childs had started, which is so cool. And had really amazing old school clientele that were so excited to share Burgundy and Bordeaux and Champagnes with me. And, my parents aren't wine drinkers. I didn't know anything about wine. And I really, really caught the bug. And when I was in Cambridge in school, I started hanging out at this little wine bar called Spoke Wine Bar. And the proprietor of the place would always let me blind taste with her, would let me drink out of her cellar. She was best friends with Terry Feast, who, brought Austrian and German wine to the U.S. Like, she had the most incredible cellar, and she unfortunately got diagnosed with ALS. And it was really like a pivotal moment for me that I was taking so much advice from people whose lives I didn't want. And Felicia, who I met, was just such a joy to be around, so inspiring. I loved how she used wine as an entry point to connect with people. I feel like the best things about wine, like one of the reasons we're all drawn to it, is because it creates such beautiful community and sharing. Like, to share a glass or a bottle or a box of wine with someone is to really like sit down and put a pin in the moment of time. And I couldn't walk away from that. I feel so lucky to have been exposed to that. People, I just had so many incredible mentors, but that I decided to stop taking advice from people whose lives I didn't want. And
and so, I'm sorry, this struck me as hilarious. Because people do, and that's just, that's why it struck me as so hilarious, because so many advice from people that they really don't need it, don't follow it, and don't appreciate it, but they, you summed it up right there. Why take advice from people you don't want to be like? That's
yes.
Yes.
Like,
simple.
Again, to bring it back to Jess Kogan, like, I have admired her for a long time. Like, I'll always take her advice. I want to be like her when I'm older. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people that you look up to and listen to them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, without question, I've connected with people my entire life through wine that I have felt I could listen and appreciate and learn more from the people I've connected with through wine than anyone else in my life. And I can say that with all honesty. There's been people that I've been around that, I don't want to be like them. But when it comes to wine, we exchange stories, exchange knowledge, and it's always been a good thing. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying completely.
I just think wine is so beautiful. I think put on this earth to like share it with more individuals, to bring people into the wine world. I think as we get into a time where, I love Andrew Huberman, but he's really demonizing alcohol, and I don't think wine should be lumped into the same category as everything else, candidly. I love, this old school, like, Robert Mondavi quote about how wine is really the pursuit of pleasure and about enjoying your life. There's something gorgeous about that.
Well, there's so many people out there, too, that want to share. Well, I know about wine, so I want to share it with you. And they don't present it, or they don't have the knowledge to present it. And it's misleading to so many people that way. I mean, I've been looking into wine books for years, and I've been reading wine books for, oh, I've been involved with wine since I was 23, and I'm 75 now. I said, you know, that's why I said you were young, but I continue to continue to read and continue to look at stuff. And every once in a while, I'll grab a wine, be so impressed with it that it just it's just fascinating. But there's so many of them over the years that, you know, you read it and you go, oh, okay, and you set it down. But then I get some that are incredible, that imparts knowledge and puts stuff out there. And that's the type of people that we want to see, that we want to learn from and all that. So, yeah, I'm sorry.
Loved it, Ron. I'm a big admirer of yours. I feel like your career has been in kind of every aspect of the wine industry, right? So you've seen all parts of it. You've touched it all. And I think the closer you get to it, the more you want to share it with the world.
And that's it. That's it exactly. And you get yourself a good glass of wine and all that, and you go, oh, this is incredible. And you start thinking, well, who can I share this? Who would like this? You
know?
And that's just something that comes to mind there right away. You mentioned restaurants. You have, when you get your wines in restaurants, do you those wines in that restaurant? Do you try to let the people know what you're doing and the target, or do you just go by chance?
Heck yeah. So I'm like a big believer in supporting all of our partners. And I come from the restaurant industry, so the on-premise is a place that we've always succeeded. You know, our first accounts were places like the Nomad Hotel, the Proper Hotel, Four Seasons, some fast casual chef-driven restaurants. And so I feel like the on-premise is still a really great opportunity where young consumers / like all consumers are trying things and then deciding if they like them. I think it's always been that way. I just think it's more difficult than ever and more competitive than ever to get the mind share. And so I always really try, like not to brag, but I feel very lucky. I feel like I have the best sales team in the biz. Like, I am really incredible people who, you know, my VP of sales is from Aveline and, you know, RNDC, and I stalked her for like 2 years and got her to come work with me. And then, you know, just made a big hire from Moët Hennessy and Opus One. Like, we... we are old school wine industry people trying to do something different. And the on-premise is everything. But I'm also opening up a restaurant in Los Angeles next year. And I'm really excited. Yes, I'm so excited about it. So it's going to be an Italian concept because, again, my favorite thing about working at Mosa, you got to taste every single bottle you opened. It was a $6 million, you know, 80-page all-Italian list. So I got to become an expert in Italian wine, which so few sommeliers get to really deep dive into, you know, the crews of Barolo and Barbaresco and Brunello. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity. Yeah. So I'm doing that next year as well.
Oh, wow. You have your pot full of things that you're doing. You're going to spread yourself so thin
here. I have a lot of energy.
A true millennial.
Yes. My husband only hates me a little bit. He's like, take one thing off your plate, please.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Your restaurant, let's jump back to that for a little bit. What are you? Is it big? Is it small? Are you going to specialize just in the Italian? A little bit about the restaurant that you're putting together here.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about the opportunity. It's just really incredible people that I'm partnering with. So it's Alex Wilmot, who's the proprietor and genius behind Gigi's in Los Angeles and Whitman's in Manhattan, and then Michael Kassar, who started Wexler's Deli, Organic Orin, and Sois Superette here. Italian cuisine really is amazing in Los Angeles, but again, not to be on my soapbox, but I do feel like.
And you say that. You've said that about 6 or 7 times in this conversation, and then you go right into the.
Yeah, I know. I'm irritating myself, I'll be honest. But, like, I do feel like the old school sommelier wine director is dying in the world. And that makes me really sad because.
Yeah.
We need champions. You know, we need people to tell the stories of these wineries. And it's essential for the livelihood of wine to carry on. I'm seeing it across the U.S. People are cutting that position, not investing it. And, you know, candidly, there's a lot of people who are in wine buyer jobs but have 8 other jobs and just don't have the expertise or palate or even time to invest in learning anything. And so I think, you know, people have a really, like, consumers come in and have a less than amazing experience with a wine list because somebody completely uneducated is creating it. I can't tell you the amount of times, you know, I've ordered a glass of wine in Los Angeles because I'm a white wine drinker. I've ordered a glass of white wine in Los Angeles and I know nothing. I've never heard of the producer. I've never heard of anything. And it shows up and it's an orange wine. and I'm like, what's the skin contact? Let's communicate what this is. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to kind of dive in because I feel like people are hungry for knowledge. Like, people do respect and love expertise. And so I think we have a unique competitive advantage here. It's going to be an all-day restaurant in Silver Lake. You know, 70 seats, half of it's inside, half of it's outside, really accessible price point, full liquor. I'm going to do a whole spritz program, a whole Negroni program, Amaro program. Oh. I'm just really, yeah, it's going to be really fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a great restaurant. And, you know, best of luck to that. When are you looking at opening?
Yeah.
Any set date yet?
April 1.
Oh.
So April Fool's Day. Wish me luck.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All the luck in the world, really. Yeah, that sounds great. Well, you mentioned something there, which I have to comment on, is about the lack of knowledge that people have about wine in restaurants. And I've been in restaurants, too, and I've ordered wine. And I lean toward red, but I really do. There's some wonderful wines that I've always enjoyed. And you order a wine in a restaurant or something, and they bring it over to you, and you say, do you know anything about this wine? And it's usually just a shrug and no, and leave it on the table. And I just,
yep.
I feel so slighted because I want to expand my knowledge. I'm drinking it, and I want to expand. And they know nothing. It's almost like there needs to be a national program for restaurants that sell wine to get a little bit of knowledge about it anyway. I mean, they don't have to be sommeliers themselves, but they really need to have more knowledge than a shrug and a walk away.
I completely agree. I mean, the places, like, I find myself drawn to restaurants where, you know, candidly, my friends are running the programs. Like one of my, you know, best friends here in Los Angeles runs a group of restaurants, and she's one of the foremost authorities on Spanish and Portuguese wines, which is like,
oh, wow.
I don't know anything about Portuguese wine. I'm so interested in it. I think it's such incredible value. The wines that she showed me has been, like, life-changing, life-opening. I'm so odd every time she opens up a bottle for me. And you know, then I go to a different restaurant group where somebody just likes the label of the wine and doesn't know, you know, how it's made, who farmed it, where it's from. That's always, it always makes me kind of bummed out. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, I know. I know exactly what you mean. You don't, you know, and so, you know, I can't tell you how many times I pulled out my phone and looked up the bottle on a site and trying to get more information on it. It's just, and I shouldn't have to do that. They should be able to tell me stuff. Especially a little bit higher end restaurants, you expect more knowledge
100%.
Coming from them.
I think it's becoming more and more rare, which makes me really sad. I do feel like, I don't know, I feel a lot of personal responsibility right now. And I know, you know, one of my good friends, Carlin Carr, runs the Frosca Group in Boulder, and she's part of, you know, the United Sommeliers Foundation. And I think there's a lot of us young people in wine who feel a lot of responsibility for stewarding and carrying forth that mentorship into the next generation, because I worry that they don't have the access, the tools, and the resources, because it's coming down to a bottom line for the restaurant groups. You know, this is the first area they cut.
The ambition. You mentioned that list there, but I think ambition, the desire to learn all that stuff. I hate to say it, but there are so many in the restaurant business that don't have the desire, the ambition to learn and to understand wine, because it, like you said at the beginning, it's something that is for old people, and you know, it's just, it hasn't been passed down, and they need to get the knowledge or the desire to know that stuff. So yeah, I have to tell you, you said you like Portuguese wine. I have to tell you something. We had a guest on, and I'll have to say it's been, well, the year of COVID has messed everything up, because you start thinking back, well, it was 3 years, and then you had COVID in there, and it ended up being 5 years. But we had a guest on who made a movie of Portuguese wine and the Portuguese system. A very, very interesting show, very intimate, and a lot of knowledge. But I had him on the show when we were talking about his movie, and he said that one bad thing about the Douro region of Portugal is that they have found lithium in the hills all around there. And they are really, really scared that big money is going to come in, buy out all these vineyards, and start stripping and mining for lithium, because it is so needed and so used around the world. And so he told me that, and I was same reaction as you. Oh my God. And just a shock. I've thought about that ever since he told me about it. It's a scary prospect.
It is really scary. It's really scary.
Yeah, we may have problems with wines coming out of there if they start. And, you know, big money in lithium. And so, you know, they can.
I know, but also, like, destructive for the environment, which is so sad, because I think one of the most amazing things about wine is that, yeah, it's an agricultural product, but, like, the best people making wine are leaving the earth better than when they found it. You know, like, I think of Ted Lemon at Litteri, such an inspiration to me. Like, you go tour Litteri, and the land is teeming with life.
Mm, yeah. Well, there's so many new certifications now that wineries are getting, because it's so good for, I mean, regenerative, biodynamic, organic, you know, just, you can could just go on. There's a dozen of them out there, and the wineries are embracing that because it is so good for the land. And something that people need to be aware of that too, is that, and you don't see that on bottles too often. You don't see the fact that these things, the wine was organic. Well, you see organic because people are familiar with it, but you don't see all these others. I'm always out there looking at the labels, trying to see, and sadly, they're not promoting it as much as I think they should. So.
Well, I agree. I think it's really challenging, though, and it brings up a whole host of conversations about, like, money and small producers and all these things, but it's, I feel like we're heading in the right direction. I don't know. I remain optimistic about the future of the wine industry. I know I'm a rare bird, but
yeah, I do too. Overall, I think the wine industry is just fascinating. I think people, in fact, it's funny because I have people, I tell somebody that I do a wine podcast and they ask about it and then they tell somebody else, and I give out a lot of my cards for the podcast here for people. And I think stuff like this, and not just me, but there's a few of them out there that get pretty good listeners. And I think that helps the wine industry too, because it's something that people can listen to. And we mentioned different wines. We mentioned like Nomadica. I you know, I'm sure people are going to try this now because of what you just said and how they're in a can and all that stuff. I think it's going to be something that's going to be out there. So all this stuff helps. I'm, you know, optimistic about the wine industry too. Something that, you know, and it's great to walk down into a grocery store and see a whole aisle with nothing but wine or stuff like that. And, at least here in Florida, I don't know how it is. Well, California, I'm sure it is too, but there's so many states that don't. Antiquated laws that they have too that I think is hurting us. But that's another
100%. 100%. 100%. But I feel like we keep pushing it forward and being, you know, focused on what's working and being inclusive instead of exclusive. It's going to work out for us. Everyone wants wine. We've been drinking wine for millennia. Like, it's in our blood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They, you know, and they, what was it? They found a wine vessel that was like 300 BC.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you? It just,
yeah,
it's been around. I mean, you know, people don't realize how long wine has been made in the, well, not great wine, but still wine. that's good. What is the future of Nomadica?
So, you know, we just launched the low ABV spritz. My goal is to bring every young consumer back to the category. Like, I'm going to be the Pied Piper for young people into wine. I think we are uniquely suited. We have the expertise. We have the distribution. We have the old school and the new school. And just wait. I'm going to be everywhere in 4 years. Mark my words.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Mike, you have any questions?
I'm excited for you to taste it.
Again, I apologize. This is, you know, it's right here in front of me.
I'm so excited for you to try it. I'm excited for you to try it. I feel like you're going to be pleasantly surprised by what can come out of a can.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not adverse to drinking wines from cans or boxes or there was a paper bottles is something we saw that I reported on about 5 years ago about a new bottle made from paper. They were going to make a wine called Paper Boy because the wine was in a paper bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And it never materialized. I never saw anything else on it. So, but you know, I'm not adverse to drinking wine out of any type of container. I mean, I do usually pour it into a glass, but most of them, I think wine in a can, which is an exploding category, they're saying that it's going to be if not a billion-dollar category within a couple, 3 years. So can is... you know, something
it's the future.
People.
Well, hopefully, you know, Ron, the next time I'm in Florida, would love to share a bottle or a can with you or a box.
Oh,
who knows?
That would be fantastic. That would be. How often do you come to Florida?
So we just launched Miami, but I have very big ambitions in Florida. So we'll hopefully be there at least, you know, 4 times a year next
year. Well, we're in just north of Tampa, so if you're in the Tampa area, then
I love it.
Let me know.
Hi.
We'll be I'll definitely meet up with you. We will sit down and have ourselves a glass of wine. Mike, you have any questions or anything for Kristen?
Well, you already took mine. I was going to ask about the name Nomadica. That was it. But I had a couple of, but you already covered them, and very enjoyable. I'm glad we got that straightened out at the top of the show, and very interesting. And wish you the best of luck in your endeavor, and thank you for being on for sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I get it. Jessica was on the show. Is she's still with CTD, right? I mean, she's just on your board.
Yes, she's just on my board, and she's like my mentor. Like, again, cannot say enough great things about her. But yes, she has a lot of different businesses. So
yes,
with CDT Collective, and she is also a founder of this incredible demo company, HSP Brands, which, like, big shout out if anyone needs a demo company for, like, Albertsons or Kroger, Whole Foods, Total Wine, go with them.
Wow. Yeah, she was on. Her resume of the different places that she has worked and different things that she's done is incredible. And it is quite a coup that you have her on your board. That's really fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so that's good for you getting her on there. She is really quite a woman. Let's see. I was looking at your website and your wines. Is this you in the white blouse?
Yeah.
Is it a blazing? Okay.
No, I thought you were there. So there's like a picture from the, you know, about us page of me with some like Conterno Barolo in my hand.
Yeah.
from my sommelier days. Yes, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
That's an old picture though. When did you get your certification, sommelier certification?
2015.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. I'm in it for a minute now.
That's okay. Good. Well, congratulations on that. I have never gotten any of my certifications because I'll tell you quite honestly, I test horribly. I am so bad at testing. I can know the knowledge and I can know everything, and then you sit down and say, okay, here's a test. Give me the answers, and my brain just sort of turns to mush, and I freeze up. I mean, I am a horrible tester. I have been ever since I was in kindergarten. I mean, it's just so I've never pursued any of those certifications because I know that I would end up failing miserably on the test. But great.
Yeah.
Some people
a lot
are
of memorization.
Way.
Also, you know, some people, I don't think certifications mean anything, candidly. Like, some of my favorite wine humans don't have any certifications.
Yeah.
So that's how I approach the world.
Yeah, and I think certifications are great and they're wonderful, and it's good to talk to people who have them. But I've talked to people who haven't went through the proper channels, and they're just as knowledgeable as people who I've talked to who do have the certification. So it's just a matter of if you want to do the test and if you can do the test, which I can't. So, well, Kristen, and your website, give us your website, give us your Facebook, your X, your all the other social media stuff, Instagram, all the social media stuff, how people can get a hold of Nomadica or you if they have any questions or anything. And let us know all the contact information here.
Yes, please. So our website is explorenomadica.com. And our Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all the things are just at Nomadica. Say hi. I monitor them. So if you have any questions, just reach out directly. We're so excited. Thank you so much for having me on. This is so amazing.
Do you have time to monitor all those between all of your irons you have in the fire and you still have time to monitor those sites?
Yeah, I'm a crazy person.
Okay. Well, we should have known that at the beginning. Yeah, okay. Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay, so it was a pleasure and a joy talking with you this evening, or today, since you're in Pacific.
Till the end of my day.
Is the end of yours, too. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really would love to be able to sit down and enjoy a glass or a bottle of wine with you the next time you're in Florida. And if I'm ever out in California, where are you located, in Southern California?
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I live in Malibu, California.
Very nice.
Yeah, really, really amazing. You know, we get to surf multiple times a week, and that's why I maintain my chill throughout all the craziness.
You actually surf, huh?
Yes. my husband mandates it, you know. he's an old school Southern Californian. So
yeah. I love you where you marry me, but you have to know how to surf.
Literally, yes. That was my marriage contract.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So all right. Well, again, if you're ever in Florida, email me. Let me know. I would love to meet up with you, and we can enjoy some wine and talk some more about the industry and the business and all that, and wine. And
thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Best of luck to you and Nomadica, and it's, yes, I'm impressed with the fact that you started it and it's going so well. That's fantastic. So hopefully we'll get to meet in person, and thank you again for taking the time to be on the show tonight.
Okay, thanks so much, Ron. Okay, you take care.
Mm-hmm. You too now.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay. She was enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brain just froze up over this Nomadica. I got it right here. I got the box right here. They sent it to me about a month ago. And I think she was one that was scheduled for the show during April when I missed almost a whole month of shows because of, Broad Talk Radio killed a couple of them for us, and then I was in the hospital and all that. So, I got these wines, and I think they might have came in when I was in the hospital, and Kathy stuck them in here in the room, in my den, and I just put stuff on top of the box, not thinking anything of it, and then I just now dug it out while we were talking. So, So I apologize to Kristen for not having some to talk about while I was on the show. Good show. She was enjoyable.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants Nomadica wine, then just go to explorenomadica.com. And if you just punch in nomadica.com, it'll say the website's for sale or something like that, but that's probably why they went with Explore. So, good show. And do we have a guest next week? I want to say yes, but let me check and see if we do. I need to. Yeah, that little box disappeared. I don't understand why it appeared to begin with, but then it's gone now. Okay, let me see what we got next week. Next week is August the... No, I keep saying August. It's,
almost.
Almost.
Actually, okay.
It's the first. Yeah, it is August 1st. Yeah. And we do have a guest. Nicole Scharf. And I don't have any information here, but obviously I can screw up very easily because I did that with Kristen. But Nicole Scharf is our guest. Nicole Scharf is our guest next week. So, I will email you my information I have on her. July is dry July month. If you want to know, you shouldn't be drinking all month long because it is actually dry July. And the fourth Thursday in July is Shiraz Day. So today is Shiraz Day. Or Shiraz. Same thing. So, let you know that. And then next month, Washington Wine Month is next month. Again, I think Washington Wine Month has already been celebrated previously this year, but they have a second one, which is next month, August. So, okay. So there we go. Next week's guest, and I'll send you information if I can find it. And I'm looking back on David, who was when I contacted for Kristen, and he has, I guess he's worked with Connect the Dots too, because, all right, so I guess I'm done rambling on. We're done for this evening.
All right. Let me save something real quick. Just change the title here. All right, we will see everybody here next Thursday. That is August the 1st, as he said, with our, another guest. And we look forward to having you join us during the live show for sure. And if you're on the archives, that's fine as well. And you can also leave us a comment or send an email if you have a question in the meantime or even during while you're listening to the archive version. Just let us know, and we'd love to hear from you. That's allaboutwine101@gmail.com. That is the email address. Again, it is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. Let us know if you have any questions, any comments, or I don't know, if you want to be a guest on the show, let me know. Let us know. Let Ron know. He's the one who gets those emails. So check it out.
Yeah.
We'll see you all next week. Yeah. Have a great weekend, and be safe, and keep drinking wine, even though it is dry July month. Who cares?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute here. While you were talking, I looked up. I guess Nicole is my contact person. And let's see, Vanessa Price, sommelier managing partner, Mavericks, which is a modern steakhouse. And she's also Shark Bar manager, newly opened Surfside-inspired bar. So Vanessa Price is our guest, it looks like, next week. So, there you go.
Perfect.
Right. Managing partner of Mavericks Restaurant. There we go.
Alrighty.
So, thank you for listening. Yep. Be safe out there. Olympics will officially start tomorrow. If you are interested in all that sports and everything, I always like the Olympics because I see events that I never would see any other time except during the Olympics. So that's what's fun about it.
Yeah, for sure. All righty. Have a good one. See
you. Yep. Y'all be safe.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Okay.
Yep. End the show. Exit. All right. And the green room.